So very excited to bring the word this morning. And I really felt this word is for this season, for the body of Christ globally, but I feel specifically for us as a local church, and that is running the race of faith. And I felt that many of us have had some setbacks over the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, whether it's been sickness or finances, relationships or whatever, there's been some setbacks. But I believe God wants to encourage His church this morning, the body of Christ, to keep on going. So don't quit. Before I start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for expectation this morning, that we are here because You are here. We thank You, Spirit of God, You testify our spirit that we are sons and we are daughters of God. We're not slaves, we are sons and we are home. Thank You for Your Father heart this morning. Thank You we can just be at peace this morning, Lord God. No matter the battles in our minds, we silence every voice of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. We thank You, Father God, for stirring hearts to respond to Your presence, to respond to Your word. We thank You for the spirit of faith this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, I felt very, very stirred in my heart to share on faith this morning. It's our foundation. Amen. We can't call ourselves Christians if we don't have the foundation of faith. And when we give our hearts to the Lord, we start this journey. Many of us have been on this journey for a couple of years, maybe a couple of days, weeks. I believe some people got saved last week. Praise the Lord. And they're in the race. They're in the race of faith. Whether it's been one day or 10 years or I want to say 100 years. I don't think people are over 100. But however long it is, we keep on going. And I feel like God wants to remind us of why we are in this race. And let's go to the scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith. And we're gonna see there about the heroes of faith. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about the heroes of faith. But verse 1 defines faith. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, or we can say the evidence of things we do not see. There are things God has called us to tap into that we can't see with our physical eyes, but it's there. Amen? This faith we're talking about, this race, it is very much spiritual, but it manifests in the natural. So this race is called the race of faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things we do not see. You and I are called to live with conviction. We are called to live from the inside out. And many believers, sadly, they live on, or I can say, with their five senses. What they can see, what they can taste, what they can smell, what they can hear, what they can feel. Well, I don't feel like God loves me today. I can't experience it right now. But we know God loves us. Amen? We know that God is faithful. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us, because He is faithful. But sometimes we don't feel it. Isn't that right? Sometimes when life happens, we don't experience His love, we don't experience His peace. In fact, we experience setback after setback after setback. What do we do? So I believe today God wants us to respond in a different way to these challenges, because they will come. Jesus said that tribulation and trials will come. But I've seen the last couple of months that many people have quit. They've stopped running the race because of these setbacks. And the enemy is after leaders and families, and he wants us to quit the race, because when the going gets tough, we can either quit or keep going. And I want to encourage us that you're not alone. Perhaps you felt even this year to quit the race of faith. Well, this faith stuff doesn't work, or this journey of faith, it doesn't work for me. I've been praying for this and that, and nothing happened. I've trusted God for, you fill in the blank, didn't happen. You know what battles you fought, but the enemy has been putting pressure on you to quit the race. And God is saying, keep on going. Let's look at another verse, Hebrews chapter 12, the very next chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 from the New Living Translation. Therefore, now, before I start, why is the therefore? Because of the previous chapter. Because of the heroes of faith. Because of this cloud of witnesses. People that have gone before us. And obviously in chapter 11, he talks about the heroes of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and so on and so on. Those are the guys and ladies that we can talk about today because of their example. And I've had personal encounters with people that have encouraged me to run the race. In fact, just last year, we had to say goodbye to a dear friend of ours who went to heaven. And she was a great mentor to myself and Karen. And it was tough saying goodbye to this hero of faith. But today, her word still echoes in our spirit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Perhaps you've had someone like that, but still you can tap into those words. You can still lean into those words of faith. So he's talking here about in verse 1, chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Have you been slowed down this year, maybe, with some weights? Stuff the enemy puts on you, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. God has set a race for you to run. It's there. It's for you to run in it. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So we thank the Lord for the examples, the cloud of witnesses. Go read chapter 11. Just slowly and take courage from the cloud of witnesses and perhaps people you've had dealings with in your lifetime. Maybe your pastor, maybe in circle of friends, you have people that are full of faith and they've encouraged you. Meditate on those words. But Jesus is the ultimate example. Amen. That's why he says here, let us keep our eyes on Jesus, fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, or the champion of our faith. So he's gone before us. And Christ came into this world to show us how to live. He has shown us how to operate by faith. And nothing we are experiencing right now, nothing we are facing today, he hasn't gone through. He's experienced the pain. He's experienced the pressure. That's why Scripture says, consider Jesus. Think about what he has gone through. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, the pain. Christ had to endure because of us. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. He had this church in mind. Amen. And he endured the cross. The cross is not a place of glory. It's a painful place. But he embraced the cross. He embraced the cross and he said, I will keep on going because of his love for us. And I think that's the encouragement. We need to embrace our cross. It's not a message that's popular because we love the mountaintops, right? We love the glory moments. And we thank God for glory moments that are created in moments like these. But we have to face giants out there. Perhaps giants in your own marriage, at home, in your community, at school, at work, wherever you are, there are giants that you have to face. And God wants you to take up your cross and follow. For the joy that is set before you, for the joy that's placed in front of you. Why the joy? Because Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? The enemy wants to take your joy away. If he can take your joy away, he can take your strength away. Don't allow him to take that joy. So stir up your faith. And Paul even told Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. If you stir up the gift, you stir up the faith. And you stir up the joy. And sometimes we have to just press in and press through. So when I go and get stuff, don't quit. I've had a few people that I've looked at recently, like the prophets. Do you know the prophets? They're close friends to this ministry. And I think they're in the 80s now. And they're still going, ministering the same message for decades. Myself and Karen had the privilege to take them to the airport a couple of weeks ago, and we couldn't stop asking questions. How are you guys still in the race? You're not quitting. You're still running the race with joy. And they've had many reasons to quit, believe me. And many leaders have many reasons to quit, but for the joy set before them, they keep on going. I spoke to someone else earlier this week, a pastor from the Lighthouse, Pastor Snyman. He's 82. He's still going. Walter Snyman, yes. Encouraged a group of leaders, and his message was, don't quit. And it was confirmation because God has laid this word on my heart already a couple of weeks ago. And he said, don't quit, because God hasn't called us to fail. He's called us to win. But the enemy is going to try to trip us up, whether it's sin, whether it's toxic relationships, offenses, to cause us to slip and stumble. But don't quit. So we take courage from men and women like that who have run the race for a couple of years already. Aren't you thankful for people like that? So how do we run effectively? We throw off every weight that slows us down or that hinders us. What weights are hanging over your shoulders today? I don't know. You know. Maybe something that has come against you and your family over the last couple of weeks or months, and you know it's from the enemy. You know maybe it could be oppression. It could be depression, anxieties, fear, panic attacks. You name it. The enemy is out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So the more we feed off the lies of the enemy, our joy goes out the door. And we feel overpowered and we feel paralyzed. I spoke about fear, I think the previous time I was here. The fear wants to paralyze the body of Christ. And we must say no to the spirit of fear. So that's what happens when we take on these weights. It wants to paralyze us as believers. As non-believers, we are believers. What do we believe in? We believe the word of God. We believe that he will never fail us, and he is faithful. Does it feel like that all the time? No, because our senses are very much aware of what's happening around us. Isn't that right? But we have to dig deeper in your spirit. I call it your knower. You know some stuff. You know a few things. If you've been in this race a long time, you know a few things. Man, I've been through this thing now, but God picked me up. I've gone through this crisis, but God provided. I've knocked my head a few times, but God forgave me again. He picked me up again. So we know a few things. So tap into what you know. Tap into your spirit, man, because from that comes the assurance. From that comes the conviction. Let's keep on going. Amen? And that's why even in James chapter 1, we read, count it all joy when you face various trials and tribulations. Sorry, it's not on the slides, but you probably know the scripture. Consider it joy when you face trials and tribulations, so that the testing of your faith will produce what? Patience. Anybody in need of some patience in the house? I woke up this morning and my tablet didn't work. I didn't show much patience this morning because I need my tablet to work. My wife can testify of that. Hey, we're all human. But the testing of the faith will produce something. But we don't like tests, do we? I remember sitting in class writing exams, and the teacher walks up and down the aisle. Remember that? And you're sitting there, and you have to remember what you studied for hours. But sometimes you get nervous, and you're like, oh my goodness, I need to write this exam because I want to get my 80%, 90%. And the examiner walks up and down, up and down. Doesn't say anything. You can't ask him, hey, what's this thing again? What's the answer to this question? It doesn't happen. And sometimes it feels like that when we're being tested. It's there to see what's on the inside. We can shout hallelujah, amen on a Sunday morning, but when Monday and Tuesday comes, what happens? The test comes to see what you've said on a Sunday morning is going to bear fruit on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So throw off the weight and don't allow the enemy to entangle you. Entanglement is like a trap. It's there to pull you down, and it comes through various forms. It comes through conversations, social media. Have you seen what this person did yesterday? And you get pulled into that lie or to that deceptive thing. Remember, the enemy can't speak the truth. He can twist. And that's when it becomes deceptive. It looks right, but it's not right. So watch out for those traps. Because it looks right, but it's deceptive. And the end of it leads to death. The sin that so easily trips us up. Or those relationships that looks good for you, but it's not right. Think about that. So run with endurance. We're called to run the race of faith. It's not a sprint. How many of you have been in athletics running? Let me see who are the athletes in the house. Don't be shy. You might not look like it right now, but at some point in your life, you did run. I have a friend, Reinhard. Where is he? He's not here. Reinhard, he can run. Reinhard will tell me, come, let's go for a run. And that's not going to be just a run. It's going to be a run. And at some point, I have to tell Reinhard, can you please slow down right now? Because this body, this 40-plus body, doesn't know what it feels like anymore to run. But it's an endurance race. It's not a sprint. So we have to pace ourselves. It's a long race. And I want to finish strong. I don't know about you, but I want to finish strong. So run with endurance. And even if you fail, even if you fall down, grace is right there where you've fallen. Aren't you thankful for grace? His grace and his mercies are new every morning. It's there to pick you up when you've fallen and when you've made a mistake. So don't quit. People sometimes quit because they feel like they've gone too far. And that's the spirit of condemnation. You've messed up too many times. You've quit. You've walked out of this relationship. You've done this. You've done that. But grace is there to pick you up and give you a second chance. I don't know your stories, but you do. And the spirit of condemnation will try to keep you down. But there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So allow that spirit of grace to pick you up when you've fallen. There's grace in the house this morning. Let's talk about the valley. We know mountaintops are amazing. We want to put your tent there sometimes to experience God's glory. But the valleys are there. So that photo of that shoe, we were camping a couple of months ago in a cold Cirrus. I don't know why we've done that, but anyways, we did it. And I went for my morning walk to pray, and I came across this shoe. And I think that shoe has known better days, right? And I don't know about the owner of the shoe, but I saw the shoe and I was like, okay, if this shoe could say something, I'm sure it would tell me about the miles, kilometers it has walked with this owner. And I just felt like sometimes we feel worn out in this race. Sometimes we feel like we can't keep on going because of, guess what, life happens. We're not superhuman. And I know we like to use Christianese. How are you today? I'm blessed by the best, thank you. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, how's it going? No, I'm fine, thank you. And you? How are you really doing today? And I think that's what the Holy Spirit is asking us this morning. How are you really doing today? Let's talk about this. And there's the invitation, like you shared, brother, during worship. The invitation is to come to the table and feast. Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. He says, if anyone opens the door, I will come in and sit with him, and we can feast together. And those are the moments where we need to be real with the Lord. You can't fake it. Be real. So, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm struggling here. I'm battling. I've prayed for breakthrough. It didn't happen. My kids have been sick. Lord, where are you? Lord, I've done this, but you're not answering. Let's be real. He knows your heart anyways, so why fake it? But we can boldly declare, Lord, even in the midst of this, I will not quit. These may be the facts, but I will not quit. Amen? So the valley is the place of testing of your faith. It's also a place of great temptation. Great temptation. Jesus was tested in the wilderness before he started his ministry. Don't rush through your valley seasons. It's there to test you. It's there to build character. Don't rush through the valleys. There are times when I want to rush through the valleys, but I know because of experience, something is coming. The testing of my faith will produce patience and character. But there's so much more God wants to reveal. It also exposes what doesn't belong in your life. When you go through the valley, it's a very dark and lonely place. But if you're still and you listen to the voice of the Father, he will tell you what things to let go of. You know, your spirit will know. This relationship is not of him. Or this thing that I'm busy with, this project or whatever, is not of him. Let go. Because my sheep knows my voice. Lean in. Get rid of all the noise. I thank God for valleys. Sometimes valleys are forced upon us because we're so rushed. It's always something happening all the time. And we need those moments just to be at peace. But the valleys, I know, it's not a fun place. But it's a refining place. It's a refining place where the Holy Spirit, with Holy Spirit fire comes to refine us, purifies us. In fact, Peter talks about like gold being refined. That's how your faith is being refined, but with fire. So endure that. Endure that so that gold can come. So I like to say this, in the valleys, just look for the gold. There are gems in the valleys. Therefore, don't rush, because when you find that gold, it will be a blessing for you in your next chapter, your next season, because it will become your testimony. Amen? So endure the trials, endure the tribulations, and repent. When there is something God exposes, repent. It's in Luke somewhere where Scripture says, Simon, Jesus says, Simon Peter, the enemy has desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And after you have repented, that after you've been refreshed, go and strengthen the others. So the enemy has been trying to sift us like wheat. He's been trying to shake us up. But Jesus says, I am praying for you. Thank God for intercessors in the house who are praying. But also thank the Lord for him praying for us. He is the intercessor praying so that our faith will not fail. Let me just say thank you to the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus, for praying for us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In this race, we are running, but we're also called to be soldiers. We're called to march on. Let's read here. You therefore must endure hardship. Can you see that word again? Endure. It's not a quick thing. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles. That's the word entangle again. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Are you telling me Christianity has some rules? I thought we were living by grace, man. No, there are rules. Go read the book. But the rules are there to liberate us. God's rules are not burdensome, Scripture says. It's there to strengthen us. It's there to bring discipline. As soldiers of Christ, we need to march on. Especially in this hour of the church, we need to march on. Don't quit the race. Keep on marching. Keep on walking. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Keep on walking through that valley. Don't stop there. Keep on going. So we are enlisted in God's army. And I feel like sometimes we need to have that mindset. We need to be militant as God's people. We are at war, whether you believe it or not. Just look around you. The enemy is attacking the church, marriages, leaders, but we are not living in fear. Amen. We will not respond in fear. We will respond in faith. But we have to be militant. We can't be sluggish. We need to be disciplined. So read your Bible. Pray every day. And what will happen? We'll grow, grow, grow. Lees some from us, I believe.
Lees your Bible, bid elke dag, bid elke dag, bid elke dag. Lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag en jy sal groei, groei, groei.
Thank you, my sister. Always count on Liesel. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. The basics of our faith. Basics of our faith. Being a disciple means we are disciplined. It's not now and then when I feel like reading my Bible. It's not now and then when I feel like praying. When I have an encounter, no, that won't get you through to the next season. Not in this hour, church. Not in this hour. We have been enlisted as God's soldiers to keep on marching, and that requires daily reading of the Word, daily praying, fellowship of the saints. Don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Pray together. Last week, we invited some friends to our house to pray with us. Because we were facing some giants, some personal stuff, but we could lock shields and partner in the spirit and say, let's tackle this thing together. Don't fight alone. You're not called to fight alone. You're called to march with the believers. But if you're out of line, we thank God for people that are looking out for us. Come back in line. Come back in line. And I believe that's what's going to happen over the next few weeks and months in this church. We're going to call people back in line. Let's march together because we're called to form a shield of faith. Because God is calling Shofar Franschhoek, I believe, to break ground, to break new ground so that more can come in. But we have to form a shield, a front line. Do you believe that, saints? Keep your eyes on our precious Lord Jesus. We can't run this race of faith if we don't talk about Jesus. He's the champion of our faith. He's the pioneer of our faith. Look to him when you get tired. You become discouraged. I believe discouragement wants to settle into our lives. Is it worth the fight? Is it worth the race? I can't see the blessing. I can't see breakthrough. But it's not about the here and now, saints. It's about our eternal price. We have to endure because there awaits a crown for us one day. Sure, there are crowns here. Sure, there are breakthroughs happening here, blessings that we experience here, but ultimately we want the crown one day. So let his example give you hope and draw on the wisdom. Draw on the wisdom. We need wisdom for daily living. Do you agree? Because wisdom brings discernment. Is this for now or is this for later? Is this an open door or is this a trap door? Let's pause there for a moment. It looks right, but it's a trap to entangle us. It's deceptive. Call on God for wisdom. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of me and I will give it to you freely. Wisdom is available in the house today. Amen. And I believe when you receive this wisdom, you will go into your families, into your communities, prison ministry, marketplaces, wherever you are, with a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of excellence. And you will solve problems. We're called to solve problems. Amen. We're called to be excellent kingdom people. People see us as church people. Gaan weer kerk toe Sondag. Ons gaan kerk toe, maar ons is mense van die koninkryk. We are people of the kingdom. And the kingdom opposes the world system. We are very much aware of that. Just go outside and watch the news. You will see that we are an opposing force. And the world is going that way, but we are going this way. And so we have to decide, are we going to quit the race and go with the flow? Or are we going to go upstream, although we'll face resistance and pressure, but upstream, on the other side, that's where our crown is. Our crown awaits on the other side. But it requires discipline and strength to go upstream. Have any of you swum upstream before? It's a struggle, but the glory awaits. Amen? So don't quit. Even when the going gets tough, even when the pressure is on you, don't quit. And I've also felt that there are people here who compare themselves with other people that are running the race. I'm not like so-and-so, so maybe my gifting doesn't matter. Stay in your lane. We all run, but you have to stay in your lane. Stay focused. Be faithful. Don't change lanes. Stay in your lane. You know what God has graced you for. Don't go into someone else's lane. Whatever it is, it may be insignificant in your eyes, but in the kingdom, it adds so much value. Someone said years ago, if you're out of your grace, you're out of your place. If you're out of your place, fall flat on your face. Isn't that right? Even our Christian circles, we're not running in our lane. We're not in our grace. So we're changing lanes. Out of our place. Boom, someone runs into us. Flat on our faces. But even that, what's there? Grace to pick us up. Amen? So God wants to restore and God wants to encourage us to stay in our lanes. But be accountable. You know, don't run alone. Be accountable. I thank the Lord for mentors and for coaches. If you've seen the Olympics, if you watched some of the games, the coaches are there on the sideline. What do they do? Cheering them on. You can do it. Keep going. Don't quit. And God has given us family. That's why I said good morning, family. Because we are called to encourage each other. Because we're not in this race alone. We may run in different lanes, as we should, because we complement each other, but we can also say, keep on going, don't quit. And this race of faith is very much generational, because at some point, you and I have to hand over the baton to the younger generation, because they have to keep going, because we can't quit. It's not just about us, it's about the next generation. And I thank the Lord for my father and mother and Karen's mom and dad's sister at the back, that they have endured the race. For not quitting their race so that we as the younger generation can keep going and our children. So the race of faith is very much about the generational blessing that has to be passed on. So think about this. If you want to quit, there will be a cost for yourself and for your children and your children's children. Keep going because the generational blessing will transform families and communities. And sometimes we need someone to say, get back up. What are you doing down there? I know what's inside of you is glorious. Pick yourself up. There's a story in the Bible of a man who was sick for many years, paralyzed. Do I still have time? He was paralyzed for many years. Jesus was in town doing miracles. And this man couldn't get himself to this healing crusade. Okay, Jesus was in town. But his friends picked him up and carried him onto the rooftop. They broke through the roof. And load him down in front of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes you and I have been paralyzed because of the spirit of fear, because of sin, because of whatever ugly words people have spoken over us, and we just lie down. It's not worth getting back up. What will people think of me? Look at me. Look at the scars. Look at the sin. Look at my failures. But God sends us people, friends, accountability people, to pick us up, to take us to the feet of Jesus, and healing comes. And the story goes that Jesus said, take up your mat and walk. Was it his efforts? No. His friends did it. I thank the Lord for people in my life who love me so much to pick me up. Do you have those people in your life? If not, we're going to ask God to bring them to you. I can guarantee you they are in this house to pick you up. When they go and get stuff, don't let pride keep you down. Say, I need some help. I need some prayer. Enemy's been trying to sift me like wheat. Jesus said, I've prayed for you. And your friends are praying for you. Thank the Lord for those people. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to pray right now before I carry on. Father, we thank you so much for anointing. Father, you see every broken heart this morning, where there have been setbacks and failures and disappointments, perhaps in relationships, empty promises, where they felt let down by people. Come, Holy Spirit, right now and heal those wounds. We thank you, Lord, that they are welcome in the Father's house. Thank you for bringing the orphan home. Jesus, you came to bring healing to the brokenhearted. That was your mission, Jesus. It still is. So I thank you that right now there's a river that flows, bringing life and healing and joy to every heart. Revive us, O Lord, so we can become messengers of healing to a broken world out there. And if that's you, just keep on receiving the love of the Father. Just receive the oil of gladness. The oil of joy has come to strengthen you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your word will not return empty. It will accomplish that which you please, Lord, in people's hearts, in their families, in every area of their lives. In Jesus' name. I just felt to pause there for a moment. This last verse, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 till 26. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, whether it's the Olympic medal or the crown or $1 million, whatever, that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not shadow boxing. I am in a battle. I know who my enemy is. It's not my people around me. It's not flesh and blood. Principalities, forces of darkness. It's been coming at me, at my family, against this church. We say no. We will not quit. We run with purpose in every step. So when salvation comes to this house and people get saved out there and healed and delivered, it's because we didn't quit. If we pack up and leave, will people miss us? That's the question that should motivate us to keep going. It's not for our own personal breakthroughs. It's for that crown that awaits us one day. Because I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness, that's what we need. We need to endure. Paul says here, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Let us keep on running. Let's keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Let's finish the race. So I want to just encourage us this morning. Don't quit the race. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your faith. But sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we get faith fatigued. Sometimes we suffer from faith fatigue. You're tired, you've been pressing in, you've confessed, you've labored, you've prayed, and you're just tired. But God says, don't quit, because my word never fails, and he never fails. And get back into the word. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Keep on feeding on the word of God. If you're tired, go to someone else and say, can you please preach to me? I need to hear some faith words. Let's be humble enough to say, I'm tired. Pride is not going to get us to the next level. Say, hey, I'm tired. I've been at this race for years, but I'm feeling it right now. I've got these cramps. Aina. Keep going. So I want to just bless us this morning with a prayer. I want to invite us to come. Those who feel like you need prayer, if you feel like you have given up on your faith, Perhaps you started the race well with enthusiasm and excitement, but then life happened and you decided to quit the race. Or maybe you decided to compromise, one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You either be faithful to the one and disloyal to the other. And there's compromise. And in this hour, I keep on saying this, in this hour of the church, there's no time for that. Because separation must come to the body of Christ. It's a strong word. Many have fallen out. Many have fallen out. But we will not quit. Let's not open the door to compromise. But if you have opened the door to compromise, grace is right there. Stay in the body. Stay in your lane. Stay in grace. So Father, I thank you for grace this morning. Thank you, Lord, for freedom in this house. He whom the Spirit of God has set free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, that your grace not only forgive sin, your grace empowers us to say no to the things of this world. Lord, I pray that discipline will come to us, Father, in our personal lives, that we will pay attention to your word, to attend to your voice, to attend to your word, as Proverbs says, to lean into your word, to your voice, to your instruction. Father, forgive us where we have attended and paid attention to the world's opinions. Lord, it might have led to some wrong choices. But Lord, we come before you right now boldly, Lord, because of the throne of grace, to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. Right now we need you, Lord. And we ask, come and refresh, come and revive us, Lord. May forgiveness come to those who feel that they have messed up. I come against that spirit of condemnation right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for rivers in the desert in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you make a way where there seems to be no way. And as we run, we keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, because you have shown us what it looks like to endure. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that at the cross, that's the place of the great exchange. We leave our burdens at your feet. We leave our depression, our anxiety, our fears, our disappointments. We leave it at the foot of the cross and we receive mercy this morning. We receive strength this morning. And we know the strength will rise up as we wait upon the Lord. So you help us to endure. You help us to be patient, because strength will come. So we thank you, Lord, for your promises. In Jesus' name. If anybody wants prayer this morning, if it's maybe your first time, you say, you know what, I've heard you talking about this race of faith. I'm not in the race at all. You can be part of this race even now. We'll pray for you. Just surrender your heart to the Lord and say, you know what, I need Jesus. I need a Savior. If you have started the race and maybe you've grown tired and weary and you've said, you know what, it's not worth it, God wants to refresh you this morning. So keep on going for you and for your children, because his promises are for you and for your children. Amen.